Hey CBC, I'm so happy to be talking to you from CBC. And I really miss you guys, miss hanging out together. And one of the reasons I wanted to do the message from this location this morning is because we're talking about comforting memories. And I was hoping maybe even just seeing the site or thinking about being here at church might bring back some memories to you. Bring back comfort that you need in this moment. And so as I'm sitting here, I get the advantage of looking out on the seats, and one of the best parts about the fact that many of you sit in the same exact seat most Sundays is I can look around, and in my imagination, I can actually picture families and individuals sitting where they normally sit when I'm up here. So that's good. Where you are sitting, I would invite you to imagine where you usually sit in this place, and the memories that have come to you, how God has shaped your walk with Him over the years, possibly major spiritual moments in your life that are tied to the people here and the encouragement you've received, and maybe the struggles you've been helped through. These are memories that God can use in your life to bring comfort. Now, speaking of memories, we're talking about remembrance this morning, and we're still in the series on the heart of God. And we're going to be in Psalm 119, right in the middle of it, or thereabouts, starting in verse 49, Psalm 119, verse 49. But this passage of Psalm 119 is all about remembrance and finding comfort in the things that God has done. And so to start us off, I wanted to ask you a question. Since you're all in your own little spaces, you can actually answer out loud. I would love for you to think about an early comforting memory in your life. What's an early comforting memory? Now, I don't mean the earliest childhood memory you have. I mean, when you think back on your life, what is a comforting memory that stands out to you? Something that really just brings comfort into your life. And it may even be later in life, something along the lines of when your children are young, maybe, or when you were a young child and with your parents. It might be a location. So I'm going to share a few of mine. And as I do, maybe in your little circle, someone in your group could share just a quick sentence of what was an early comforting memory for you. And mine are kind of tied to smells. And I know many of you experience that fact that our memories are attached to our sense of smell. When I walk by a citrus blossom of any sort, instantly I am brought back to a memory of my childhood. Because in Phoenix, all around Phoenix, there are a lot of citrus groves. And I just remember springtime in Phoenix, it would already be really hot. But when you go through those citrus groves, the temperature would drop like 20 degrees. It would feel great, and it just always was just reminds me of my childhood and reminds me of home. So that's a comforting memory for me. The other smell that is attached to my comforting memory is the smell of rain, and but not just any smell of rain. If you've ever been, for maybe for this crowd, West Texas, out in the desert. But if you've ever been in the desert when a monsoon rain approaches, there's a particular smell that comes along with that that accompanies the kind of there's a creosote plant, and when it gets wet, it puts out a smell. It's actually, a lot of people don't know that the smell that comes out of the creosote when it's wet, I've been told it's actually poisonous in high doses. But when it's spread out across the desert, it just is a very unique smell. And for me, growing up in a desert, and it's really hot, when you see those clouds build up in the distance and kind of come in, you know that that is bringing refreshment, bringing cool air, bringing some excitement to the nonstop sunny days. That's a comforting memory for me that I think back on. And still to this day, when it rains, if there's any sort of smell of rain, I'm attracted to that. That it really brings back memories. So hopefully by now you've had a chance to share with your group a comforting memory. Now, the writer of Psalm 119 is going to share a comforting memory with us. And it's a truth that comes out of not only this passage, but throughout Scripture. As we are seeking the heart of God in the Psalms, it is repeated to us here that the heart of God is found in the Word of God. The heart of God is found in the Word of God. And we see that if we are to understand the nature of God and the works of God and the voice of God, we need to really know Scripture and find comfort in His Word through Scripture. And this passage we're going to be in Psalm 119, it's verses 49 to 56, is one stanza of the longest psalm or song in the book of Psalms. It's an acrostic, many of you know, of the Hebrew alphabet. So every stanza begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And so the word, remember, in verse 49, remembrance, is related to the Hebrew word or letter for this stanza. And so the theme of this stanza, though, is remembrance. And it's finding comfort in what he remembers about God's word in his life. Now, we're not exactly sure who wrote Psalm 119. It was kind of left unsigned. I had the thought that, you know, if you were to write the longest song in history, maybe you wouldn't want your name attached to it. I don't know. Maybe this was a B track when they put the songs that can't be played on the radio. Some have thought it's David. Some have thought it's actually someone after the exile. Maybe even Ezra. But either way, it's someone that has spent their lives meditating on Scripture and also has dealt with some difficulty. And in the midst of difficulty, they go back to Scripture to find comfort, to find encouragement, to find a connection with God. And so as we work through this short stanza, there's really kind of, I'm breaking up into four parts. And of those four parts, there's a first half and a second half. And the first half, there's really two words that come to mind. It's seek and store. Seek and store. And that's what we're going to talk about in these first four verses. Seek and store. We're to seek God for comfort. That seems like such a simple concept. Seek God for comfort. But if you think about it, where do you tend to go when you need comfort? I don't, God's on the list, but sometimes it's to a fantasy land where I think that my problem is gone. Maybe it's to, if only I could throw some more money at the problem. Maybe it's just to complaining. Maybe it's venting. Maybe it's binge watching. Maybe it's something else. It's jumping into alcohol or eating, trying to find pleasure, trying to find joy in some other way. Well, Scripture tells us that we're to seek God for comfort and hope. Let me read 49 and 50 together. So read with me verses 49 and 50. He says, "Remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction." Remember your word to your servant. Well, what is he really saying? He's saying, God, I am asking you to bring your word to my mind. Bring your word to my mind. Allow me to remember the things that you have said to me in the past. I'm in the midst of something and it's difficult. My stress level's rising and I need comfort. And I don't want to go after other things. I want to go to you. And this tells me something that's really important about seeking God for comfort, in that he considered his word to be his connection to God. And let me ask you this question. What is God's word to you? Now, I'm not asking for a theological definition. I'm saying use some feel language and some emotional words. What is God's word to you? On the comments section, you're welcome to list those for other people to see or just share with a group. But I'll tell you this, that for Israel, for the leaders of Israel, those that truly sought to be spiritual leaders of Israel at this time, ones that were truly trying to keep the people of Israel with their eyes on God, they saw God's word as more than a theological definition. They saw it as their connection to the living God. You see, in a world where they were surrounded, especially in Egypt, by silent and kind of abandoned gods, the the people worshiped gods that just weren't there. They didn't speak. Gods that didn't show up, didn't act. Yahweh was a God that spoke, and Yahweh was a God that showed up. And to them, when they go back and read the Torah, so in Psalm 119, when it says God's word, it's referring to the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. That is both the history of how God formed the people of Israel and the law. And so when the writer of Psalm 119 thinks about Torah, he thinks this is a God who shows and speaks in a world of silent and absentee gods. Everyone else talks about their gods and the things they go to for comfort, but those are silent, absentee gods. Yahweh, the true God of the Bible, shows up and he speaks. So when he says, "Remember your word to your servant," hey, bring to mind the things that you've done in the past, the miraculous things. Bring to mind those pieces of the law that show me you care enough to discipline me, care enough to tell me how I should be acting, how I should be thinking, where I should be spending my time. These are things that bring comfort to him. So as it says in verse 50, this is my comfort in affliction. My comfort is this remembrance. It is life-giving. What's life taking in your life right now? What is taking your life away? I'm guessing for most of us, it's just the repetition of the day, maybe. It's feeling like you're just on a leash. Maybe for many of you, it's been much more confining. Some of us, we've still gone out. We've at least gone to the stores we can go to. Maybe we've had the ability to order in food. Others of us, we've been stuck at home, and those can be life-taking situations. Or watching the news is life-taking. What's life-giving? When God brings a remembrance to us of his works in our life. And that's why I brought us here. As I said earlier, where did God give you life in this place? Through the people of CBC, thinking about those around you. Maybe a particular situation, a time and place where God spoke to you through his word, where God showed up. Bring comfort, or find comfort in that. Seek him for comfort instead of running to these gods that are silent. Now, the next thing, as I said, it's seek and then store. Let me read 51 and 52, and then I want to say what I mean by store. The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort, O Lord. Now, here's the second time the word comfort comes up. And in fact, I was actually a little surprised to find out that of all the Psalms, there's really only two Psalms that have this word for comfort. One, you might know, is Psalm 23. The other one is this Psalm. Throughout Psalm 119, it's actually listed four times, two times in this stanza. One of the reasons I picked this stanza to meditate on. So the second aspect of finding comfort in God's word and seeking the heart of God through his word is this, that we need to store scripture for the Holy Spirit to use in our life. We need to store scripture for the Holy Spirit to use. Look at what he's essentially saying in verse 51. He says, "The insolent utterly deride me, but I do not turn away from your law. When I think of your rules from the old, I take comfort, O Lord." What is he saying? He's saying the value I give to God's word is mocked, but it's worth it. The value I give to God's word is mocked, but it's worth it. He's surrounded by people that look at his dedication to God's boundaries in his life, and they see restrictions. He sees it as grace, because he says, this is a God who spoke to me out of the silence of the universe and staring up at the stars. God reached down to me and said, I care enough about you to tell you that I have expectations on your life, and I'm going to step alongside you. In our day and age, this side of Jesus, in the age of the Holy Spirit coming to live within us, when we store scripture in our hearts, when we know the character of God, the Holy Spirit can use those things to bring us comfort when we are mocked for valuing God's word. I don't know if you've ever been told you're just antiquated for valuing scripture, for going to scripture, for memorizing it, for living by it. Well, that's not a new thing. even in the time of this writer, people were mocking him for his for living according to Scripture. Maybe even other fellow Jewish people who had lost faith in God. But he takes comfort in the fact that God had set boundaries in his life. Your voice, what he's essentially saying is, your voice is ringing in my head louder than the voices around me. Instead of being grieved, he's comforted. So there's a lot of voices around us trying to lead us to grief. And certainly we need to be honest, and we're about to be, with our emotions. Dave spoke on that last week. But as we allow God to work through some of our emotions and seek God for this comfort, we can look at his scripture and his voice can ring louder than all the voices around. Now, in the next two sections of this psalm, it brings about two pairings that I want to talk about. I think that we need to discuss an idea of a spiritual discipline that's being given here and a spiritual heritage. So we first looked at seek and store. We need to seek God for comfort. We need to store God's word for the Holy Spirit to use in our lives. We also need to develop a spiritual discipline and build a spiritual heritage. And let me read the spiritual discipline that I want to speak of. I find in verse 53 through verse 55. So let me read it. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked, who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. Hot indignation seizes me. Now, this is what I mean by it's okay to be honest with our emotions. When you see people that just blatantly reject God, and or people that abandon his word, seeking the comforts of this world, it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to say, God, what is going on? I'm frustrated with myself when that happens, to be able to stand up and go, God, I want to follow after you with my full heart, and yet there's a part of my heart that always kind of gets pulled to other things. Hot indignation seizes me because of the wicked who forsake your laws. He doesn't understand why people look at God's word and just walk away from it, how they can experience maybe the life-giving element of having a relationship with God and yet just think, there's something better for me out there. He doesn't understand that. He says, I do get angry with those that reject your word. It's an honest emotion. But, verse 54, your statutes have been my songs. One of the themes of Psalm 119 is how many synonyms he uses for God's word. And just so far, we've seen your word. We've seen your promise. We've seen your rules. We've seen your law. We've seen your statutes. These are words that all flesh out the whole Torah. And he says, I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law. What is he communicating? He's communicating that he has developed a spiritual discipline, right? So the world around him is yelling, it's chaotic, things are happening, but he's developed a spiritual discipline of choosing his thoughts wisely. Choosing his thoughts wisely. That is a spiritual discipline. We actually don't have to let our thoughts go crazy. We don't have to think about every negative thing that comes along our mind. Our minds are busy things. And when, especially when there's not a whole lot to do, I don't know if you've experienced this, and I spoke on this subject 2 weeks ago, but when we don't have a lot to do, we do live in our heads, and we do allow negative thoughts to carry us away, but it is a spiritual discipline to trust God, to recognize the emotion that we're experiencing from our from all around us, and yet go back and lean into God's word. I'm reminded of Philippians 4:8. I think that's a great place to start, to go to for comfort. If you remember, so those of you that have been involved in our church since last summer, our kids camp verse last year, Mary did a great job of organizing Bible studies and lessons based on this verse. When it says, finally, my brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Some of you that worked on that kids camp now have that song stuck in your head because we had a song that used those exact words. We're to think about those things. That is a spiritual discipline. That is guarding our hearts. And just because a thought kind of knocks on the door doesn't mean I have to go in and have a long conversation. I can instead go back to Scripture. And I can find things that counter those thoughts. And I can discipline myself to say, in this moment, I may not visibly see God at work. But maybe if I think a little bit more, suddenly I'll begin to recognize His hands. Suddenly I'll begin to see a pattern in my life of that sometimes God shouts and sometimes He whispers, but He's ever present. He never leaves me. There's a term that I think the writer is kind of communicating. It's called heart song. And it's a word, it's a term that I think most of us understand what a heart song is. When I looked up the exact definition to make sure I was thinking correctly, it actually said it was obsolete, an obsolete term, maybe one that's not used a whole lot. But our heart song, the way it was always used in literature and illustrative purposes, was that it was meant to say, this is my heart song relating to something that describes the essence of our being. This is who I am. Now, there's one of my favorite bands. It has a song called Heart Song. And what I love about it is he goes through and he's actually listing the songs that were momentous in his life that caused him to become a musician. And so he lists all these famous songs, a variety of different, showing that he's got a spectrum of likes and dislikes when it comes to music. But he lists these songs and he says, these are my heart songs. And I love how he describes it. He says, these are the songs I keep singing. These are the songs I keep singing. When I wake in the morning, these are the songs I keep singing. He then, the arc of the song comes to the fact that one day he realized that his own songs out on the radio, other people now were considering that their heart song. I guess I'm one of those people because some of this group's songs are constantly around me. The writer of Psalm 119 is saying, I remember your name in the night. Your statutes have been my songs throughout my sojourning. He's recognizing the fact that this is not our home. He's a sojourner. He's a pilgrim. This is not our home. But when we seek comfort in Scripture, when we seek God, the songs of our true home ring in our heart. They're the theme throughout our life. He's saying that all the songs that he's written, the theme of his life has been the Torah, has been God's word in his life, this active relationship with God's word. They're the songs that he keeps singing, no matter what's going on in his life. They're the songs that he keeps singing. Spiritual discipline allows us to block out the noise of all the other songs that really aren't your heart song, because they belong to this world. Our heart songs as pilgrims in this land come from our true home, and they allow us to pass through, find comfort in the travelings. The last verse, verse 56, we find our last term, and that is spiritual heritage. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. He's saying, my mind is kept busy meditating on your word, which impacts how I live. There's a connection between meditating on Scripture and our growth in our lives. Developing a spiritual heritage leads to blessing. What do I mean by spiritual heritage? Well, we all know what a heritage is, right? A heritage is what many of us as parents want to pass on to our kids. We think about the heritage our parents passed on to us. Our small group, before we couldn't meet anymore, when we could get together, we got a lot of kids in our group. So meeting is often somewhat chaotic. But one of the things that we were trying to do was go through various stories in our life, and one of them was passing on the heritage that our our family passed on to us and what we hope to pass on to our kids. Heritage is that thing that we want to, that we put a lot of focus in, that we put our effort in because we think it lasts. Heritage lasts, right? It is not a temporary thing. There are many things I do in my life that are not going to last, but the things that I hope I value are the things that can be called heritage. Maybe the things that my kids pick up on. Even a thing like a sense of humor. I love it when I see my kids, I don't know what it is, but when I see my kids mimic my sense of humor, I take great joy in that. I think, okay, I'm doing my job right as a dad. It's a heritage I want to pass on, the culture of our family, the things we value. And in the same way, personally, I can develop a spiritual heritage between my relationship with God's word. Now, this kind of comes down to an old adage regarding when is the best time to plant a tree. And maybe you've heard it before. Someone says, asks the question, when is the best time to plant a tree? The answer is something like, 25 years ago or today. They're pointing out the fact that a tree is a somewhat permanent thing in our existence. Yes, you can chop it down, it can be burned up. But left to its own existence in the natural world, trees tend to stay. They have long lifespans. And so if your family has land or something, you maybe even visit it and say, that oak tree was planted by my great-grandfather, and now my kids swing on a tire swing under it. And we have that image in our head. The best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago or today, because if you planted it a long time ago, you get to reap the benefits of it being a fully mature tree. If you plant it today, you know that you are investing in the heritage of the future, that someone later on down the road is going to enjoy this tree. Everywhere I've lived, every home I've been in, I've planted trees, and I've known full well I'm probably not going to be in that home my entire life. I like to think back that someone who's living there now is enjoying that tree I planted. Scripture works the same way in our relationship with God and our relationship with His Word. It's a spiritual heritage that some of us, we can look back on years ago where we planted Scripture in our heart, and now 25, 35, 45 years later, we are getting to reap the benefits of sitting under that fully mature tree as God's promises have just fleshed out in our lives. For others, it's a fairly new concept. Well, guess what? Plant that tree today. You will begin to develop a spiritual heritage where in future times, when difficulties just like this one arise, and there will be, where the fruit of that tree will be mature, where you can look into God's word, find comfort and seek God, and you will find it a blessing. This blessing has fallen to me that I have kept your precepts. He is pointing out the fact that he has for a long term in his life spent great amount of priority in God's word. He's meditated on it. He's read it. He's told others about it. And therefore, it has impacted his life. Now, when he wakes up in the morning, it's the song that sings. Whenever there is temptation to run after other comforts in his life, he's drawn back to the promises of Scripture. And it is a blessing. He's not saying that his situation has changed. God has not, as many people think, rewarded or has some cause and effect idea that if I stay true to God's word, therefore he'll remove the stumbling blocks in my life. That's not true at all. In fact, if anything, it's more like the training wheels are taken off, and now I get to ride a trail with many more obstacles in my life, yet I am equipped to handle it. There are certain verses, certain aspects of God's word, and even just memories of how God has used his word to affect me that the Holy Spirit uses at different times in my life. And I think, I haven't thought of that in 20 years. Or I haven't thought of that conversation with that person who brought this scripture to my life in decades. That's the blessing that returns. The blessing that even though everyone around me may be grasping for straws, we are on solid ground. And I can keep my eyes on Jesus, keep my heart set in his word, and I can walk in obedience to him. That is a blessing. So, just as I asked before, what is one early comforting memory from your life? What I want you to do as a family or on your own, or you can share it on the comments. I'm about to end this. I'm going to pray for you. Share one comforting memory from Scripture that God has given you. What is one comforting memory? Remember our four concepts. We need to seek God for comfort, and we need to store Scripture that the Holy Spirit can use in our lives. We need to develop spiritual disciplines. We can choose our thoughts. We can guard our hearts. The Holy Spirit can equip us to do that. And we can develop a spiritual heritage. Well, part of developing a spiritual heritage is passing on the things that God has done in your life to the next generation. In Dave's devotionals, he's been hitting just, you know, he's going through Mark, and this part of Mark is really discipleship heavy. And he's been hitting that idea of relational discipleship. So part of that is the people around you passing on the spiritual heritage that God has built in your life. So what has God done in your life? What memories come to mind? And maybe even thinking about this room, there's some that come to mind that you can say that I remember there was a point in time when a certain piece of scripture or a certain truth just got me over a hurdle, got me up that mountain, got me out of a hole. Speak those out loud with those around you, or take time to journal those or meditate on those or pray those back to God this week. Spend time seeking God for your comfort this week. Let me pray for you. Dear God, I thank you for your word. You are a God that is not silent. You are a God that shows up. We are still in a world that is full of silent and absentee gods. We still are tempted to seek after things in our life that we think will bring comfort, but they always remain empty. We might find momentary pleasure, but soon the flame dies out, and we're left with the same problem we had before, except worse. We're a little further from you. I pray for all of us in this body that are spread apart. I pray this in this moment, this same prayer that this writer wrote so long ago, bring to our minds your word, that we might find comfort in the midst of our affliction, that we would be comforted by this memory. Help us to remember you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was good spending time with you, and I loved seeing all your faces here as you get up and walk out in the lobby, and as I picture the groups that always gather, and we pray for the day that that can come again. Continue to pray for our elders and leaders as we figure all those details out of when that day may come. But pray ultimately for our community. A lot of people out there going through much difficulty. And so continue to look after one another. And I thank you for that we as a body are looking after one another. So have a great week, and we will see you next time.